is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, we're continuing again this week with our survey through the Ten Commandments, and it's adultery week at church. That sounds really good. Again, we live in a culture that for some reason, even though we know this is one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. If we look at the media, if we watch television, it's everywhere. And nobody seems to care. It doesn't seem to bother people. And yet, we in the church count it as a sin. Rightly so, I believe. I know one of the issues that I really have with it, and partake in any sexual sin in general, is the fact, I believe, that a lot of people just won't recognize it as sin. If I could point again to the news, and in particular to this whole issue with Jerry Sandusky, if you've seen any of the news recently, especially around here, you've heard about Jerry Sandusky and his child abuse trial and his sentencing. He continues to say that he did nothing wrong. He doesn't deny the charges against him, but he doesn't think he did anything wrong. Whether these issues are against the law or not, they still stand against God. And we see in this particular commandment, in these particular issues, that many of these sins are not only sins against people, but clearly sins against God. If we can remember back to our Sunday school days and the story of Joseph, when he was in Potiphar's house, Joseph being one of the patriarchs of Israel, when he was in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, and he refused her, not only because it would have been a sin against Potiphar, his master, who was taking care of him, but he also said that it would be a sin against God. And this was before they had the Ten Commandments. He knew even then that it was wrong. And yet we look in our culture today, we watch TV, particularly for some reason it seems to be quite prevalent on sitcoms, as if there's something funny about it. Everybody seems to be cheating on their spouse. God gave us marriage. He instituted marriage to be for us between one husband and one wife. He makes that relationship whole, and we break it. We corrupt it. And we've reached a point in society today where that seems to be okay. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus took it a step further. Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 30, Jesus says, You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better that you lose one part of your body than that for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to hell. So in the first part of this passage, Jesus takes it a step further, that even if you look upon someone, and I know he says women, but it goes both ways. If you look upon someone with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery with them. Because that's where sin starts. It starts in our hearts. It starts in our feelings. It starts in our minds. We have to think about it before we do it. Sometimes we don't have to think about it very hard or very long. But sin for us should not be the action. It has to start somewhere. And if we can stop it that early, if we can stop it at the thought, then we don't commit the action. Jesus goes on to say that if you have this issue of looking at someone with lust in your heart, that you should pluck your eye out. Well, let me just make sure we're clear. He's not suggesting we mutilate ourselves. He's pointing out how difficult it is. How difficult it is for us to stop. He's certainly not suggesting that we harm ourselves, because that is not something that God wants us to do. But he is pointing out to us how difficult it is for us to take this control. How difficult it is for us to rein in our thoughts. That sometimes it might seem like the only way we can stop is to do harm to ourselves. But we should not. But we need to have this self-control. Self-control is one of the gifts of the Spirit. Or not one of the gifts of the Spirit, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. The difference being that as a fruit of the Spirit, it is something that we all have. And yet we don't always exercise it. The Apostle Paul said asked us the question through Scripture that why is it that I do the things I don't want to do? You see, even he had the problem. Even he had a problem with sin. And you would think that the guy who wrote a third of the New Testament would be above all that. But he wasn't. This continues like so many of the other things, like so many of the things we've looked at in the Ten Commandments, just to point out to us sometimes that we can't stop. We all sin. But forgiveness is there for us. We endeavor to stop. We try to stop. We have as much control as we can at times. And we fail. We fall short. Remember that the Ten Commandments do not show us the way to salvation. They just point out how flawed we are. And I think that's one of the reasons why we avoid them. I saw on the news just today, there's another public building someplace. I didn't catch the beginning of the news story to see where it was, but again, locally, someplace that there's a large stone memorial that's probably been there for 100 years that's got the Ten Commandments on it. It's in a public building. Is it a school? Probably. And somebody is offended by it and wants it taken down. Good. The school board said no. I saw a poster recently somebody was sending around on the internet. And it was one of my friends in the prison ministry pointing out how interesting it is. And comparing the schools to the prisons. How in the schools we're discouraging people from praying. We're discouraging God in the schools, but we're encouraging it in the prisons. And I tell you the truth, if we would do a little more encouraging the gospel in the schools, if we'd encourage kids to read the Bible in schools, if we'd teach the kids the Ten Commandments in schools, we wouldn't need as many prisons today. But we are reminded here that it is in our hearts, in our spirits, in our minds, that we begin to sin. It is in refusing these thoughts, refusing these feelings, refusing whatever this is that drives us to sin, that we are able to stop, that we are able to gain control. A reminder that God is always with us. It is hard and we will fail. I'm not perfect. I don't like to say that, but I know I've had several people tell me how refreshing it is to hear from a preacher that he makes mistakes too. Because I know particularly if you watch them on TV, some of those preachers will tell you they're the best thing that's ever happened. But we're all flawed. We all fall short. And thank God for God, huh? He provides us grace. He provides us mercy. He provides us forgiveness, no matter how much we fail. No matter how short we fall. Amen.
Who can live in your sanctuary? Oh Lord, who can walk on your...
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church, or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.